the song we just sang, may all who find us faithful, right? May all who come behind us find us faithful. Being faithful, for me, includes one major aspect of our lives, and that's to be single-minded. If we're not single-minded, we move around a lot. We're like a sine wave. We're in, we're out. We're up, we're down. And faithfulness is not part of being duplicitous. I say duplicitous because I'm throwing in a free Latin lesson this morning. Duplo means two, right? And single is one. So God is calling us to be single-minded in our devotion to Him, not duplicitous, not double-minded, right? So being faithful, being single-minded is huge. Being single-minded means God gives us everything we need for life and godliness, according to 1 Peter, right? 2 Peter, excuse me. And that includes a Savior who is one, a God who is one, an authority, a guide that is one. That is what He's after. It simplifies our ability to be single-minded. We do not add other things to our single-mindedness. We don't add. There was a food, the Safe Pure Food and Drug Act back in the days when Teddy Roosevelt was president. He wanted to clean up the crazy stuff that was being sold. Believe me, did you know, look up if you're curious, what was being sold as medicine or food in the late 1800s, early 1900s. Most of the medicine had cocaine or morphine in it. And it was sold as Dr. Boom Boom's Kickapoo Joyce or Jojo, whatever, you know. And everything to make you feel happy. Women going through menopause, whatever, take this, it will make you happy. You see these people kicking their heels. It's cocaine and morphine. And so it got out of control. They passed the Food and Drug Act, and it was meant to purify what's in food. People need that. People want what's pure, right? We want our faith to be pure. Single, one ingredient, right? So let's turn to Matthew 15 this morning, and Jesus is going to be addressing this issue. And I know the passage says we're going from Matthew 15:1 to 16:20, but I will tell you, if you want to read those verses, all of them, please do so. You'll learn a lot. But since I have 20 minutes, perhaps more or less, I don't have time to do that. I have time to do one thing. I'm single-minded in my purpose to be here today, and that is to encourage you to be single-minded. And I need all my time to take care of 11 verses, 1 through 11. So, if you don't mind, as God calls us to be single-minded, I would like to pray to have Him cause us to be that way. And Father God, as we open up Your Word, that our single authority, we have no other authority to guide us in these matters. You have spoken to us through Your Son, and through His Word we learn what He said. So we open up Your book, we read it, we take it to heed. And be with us this morning as we treasure these ancient words, in Christ's name. Now, can you hold your finger there on Matthew chapter 15? Because we have to get a little background for this in Luke. Excuse me, in Mark. Let's turn to Mark chapter 7. This is the background for what we're going to listen to this morning. Okay, so hold your place on Matthew 15, turn to Luke 7, and this is the beginning, the background to what the question is going to happen in Matthew 15. Are you with me? Anyway, I'm starting to read in Mark chapter 7, verse 1. The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus and saw some of His disciples eating food with unclean hands, that is, ceremonially unwashed hands. The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash, And they observe many other traditions, such as the washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. Okay? So that's the background. Now let's go back to chapter 15 of Matthew, and we'll pick up, because this is the same episode. Then some Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked, Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat. Okay. Well, so far, so good. There's nothing wrong with that question, in my opinion. They don't wash their hands before they eat. Well, so you probably told your kids to wash their hands before they eat, right? We all did. And we wash our hands before we eat, right? Well, yes, we do, don't we? Titus and Sophia, your mommy and daddy show you to wash your hands before you eat, right? That's good. So far, there's not a problem here. No problem. Now, things are going to go fast, really quick. But just a word first for tradition, because it's come up here and we're going to talk about traditions a little bit more. Last week, there was a tradition that was kept here amongst us. We met on a Sunday morning at a certain time, at a certain building. So far, there's three things that we hold to. And it starts in this room, so we come to this room, and we all sit in the same spots. And I mentioned to Sue this morning, she better not sit there. She had a Bible over there. I said, Mike, come on, sit there. We're going to have a church split, so you need to move. Okay? And then we have certain treats at a certain time. We park in certain places. Okay? We go through our ritual of praying, giving thanks, remembering the Lord, and we have the tradition of the cup. And the, all right, it's so far, there's nothing wrong with that, is there? Nothing is wrong with that. Then even Mike with his shoulder pillow last week, on Sunday, he gets up and he has a tradition, right, of picking up the cups. He went over there with his messed up arm and he picked that little cup and went around and picked up all of our cups. Because that's Mike's tradition. Some of these things are fine, and he has a desire to serve. It's deep inside of him, and he shows his love to us by doing that. So far, so good. No problem. Okay, now it's going to go bad. Now we're going to go bad. So Christ sees what's going on here. And he already knows what's on their mind. It's not what we see. The Savior sees more than what we see. Remember when the paralytic came down, he says, your sins are forgiven. And then he looked at the Pharisees, I know what you're thinking. That's a little thing that we get to read. He says, I know what you're thinking. So let me ask you a question. What is easier to say? Your sins are forgiven, or get up, pick up your mat and walk. What's easier to say? He knew what they were saying. How can this man heal on the Sabbath? So Jesus already knew what they were saying when they asked the question, why do they break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat. Okay. Now here's the other side of me saying this, there's nothing wrong with this question, but actually it's all wrong. Because we have the background now and we have Jesus' reply. But before I go to his reply, I have to give you some background. And since about 2% of the population of Jewish men were Pharisees, that there's probably only 2% of you who are going to like what I'm going to say now, because I'm just taking the odds of this. You may say, hi, why are you wasting our time talking about this law of washing? This is boring. It's dumb. Well, it's critical for me to do this, and I apologize ahead of time for your impatience or you're saying this is a non sequitur. There's no connection here to what we're reading, but it is. This is the background, the religious, the cultural, the societal background behind this question, and why Jesus chose these particular segment of the population of Jews to be so angry with, to have such scorn for them. And if you want to read more about that, read Matthew chapter 23 of all the woes to the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. A whole chapter of very harsh, vituperative vitriol against these people. Okay, because there's a reason for it. Now, washing of the hands. Seems simple enough. Do you guys inspect? Hey, Daniel, do you tell your kids how to wash their hands?
Yes.
You do? Well, what are the laws of washing the hands? What is the tradition of the elder?
I want soap, hot water.
What kind of soap?
The kind that's up there.
Okay. Well, okay, that's your law. How much water?
The right amount.
Okay. How hot should the water be?
Hot as they'll let me put it.
Okay. And where do they wash? At what point do they wash their hands?
Usually before they eat or after they
do. But I mean, what part of the hand?
Oh, the whole thing.
The whole thing. Where does that? Where does it start and where does it end?
It probably starts and ends just here.
Okay, too. And how long are they supposed to wash?
I don't time it.
Ah, see. Okay. So that's okay. So you have your shoe. Now, here's what happened. In the Jewish mind, still today, there's a thing called the Talmud, right? I think I've mentioned that before, the Talmud. The Talmud started off about here. Let's say it's this big, 26 volumes. Let's say the first, maybe there were six volumes to begin with. That's about what there were. That was called the Mishnah. The Mishnah was the oral law that God gave to Moses when he was done giving them the whole law. In the Bible, in the first five books of Moses, he gave all these rules. And, well, guess what? There are no rules for washing your hands before eating. There is none. There's one law for Aaron and his sons, the priests, to wash their feet and their hands before they minister before the tabernacle. That's the only thing. It's not, has nothing to do with eating and nothing to do for the people. This was directed to the priest before they ministered before God. He wanted their feet and their hands clean. But he didn't tell them how. He was more like Daniel right there. Just wash your feet and wash your hands. But the lawyers, the teachers of the law, because Daniel, you have the authority over your children, but as they get older, some of them are going to ask you, none of you have these kind of kids, okay? But they're going to ask you, well, what do you mean by washing my hands? How do you want me? I ask those questions. Well, like where? How often? When? How much? How hot? What kind of soap? Do I have to dry? Do I hold my hands down? It's very complex. Now, Islam has that. In Islam, you have to wash a certain way or it doesn't count. With the Jews, they had it all laid out. And the washing occurred before you ate. Or sometimes not, depending on what you ate. So the whole process of sitting down to eat like they were doing, there's a big background. So let me tell you, first, before you eat, you have to be prepared, okay? You have to be prepared. And I got this out, this is from the Hebrew stuff. The quantity of water necessary to purify the hands, you had to make sure that was available. And that's not always simple when you live in a hot, humid, or a very dry area like Jerusalem, Israel, Canaan was. You had to fetch water. So depending if you had 12 guys there, you had to have enough water on hand for the washing. So number one, the Talmud tells you how much water you have to have. And then to purify the hands by pouring, you have to pour it over the hands in a certain way. You also have to have the vessels in which the water are in. They have to be clean vessels. Okay, so that's the part. If a fly or something gets in that, you have to bust that vessel. You can't use it for purification anymore. So the vessels from which the water may be poured onto the hands and the kinds of water which may not be used to purify the hands. So number one, just before you start washing, you better have that part taken care of, okay? The number two, you have to know how the water should be poured over the hands and the first time and then the second time. Because sometimes you have to wash them a second time. Okay, so you have to now know how much you're eating. How much are you going to eat before you wash? Because there's two ways of doing the washing. And they don't always agree, by the way. The rabbis don't always agree in this. The laws don't always agree. It states that if one is going to eat less than one kisiyet of bread, and that's Talmudic weights and measures, you can look it up in your Bible, in your Google it, Talmudic Weights and Measures. They're there. If anybody wants it, I got a copy of one right here. So you either have to have one of these, or you have to have to memorize. The Kizit was an olive. So the olive was kind of the basis of measurement. By the way, an olive is 1.6 cubic inches. That's what a keziah is. So if you are going to eat less than a keziah of bread, you don't have to wash. So you have to know what you're going to eat. So if you're just going to have a little cracker or two, you don't need to wash. But you have to have the prayer. If you eat more than a keziah, you have to wash, but you don't have to do a prayer. That's what, but the Talmud, the majority, this is how they decide among the Jewish rabbi. They disagree. They don't go out and start a new synagogue or a new church. They don't do that. They don't break up like Protestants do. They stick together, but they agree. Majority rules, kind of like, the Supreme Court, 5-4 decision. Still, it applies to everybody. And maybe one day they'll disagree and switch it around, and then that's going to be the law. But among the Jews, the law is the majority rules. So, the Mishnah said. So, you have to measure and weigh your food, and once you know what you're going to eat, then you do the prayer. And the prayer, you've probably heard them say this prayer, except for the last part, depending on what they're doing. If they're lighting a candle for Shabbat, they say the whole prayer except for the last part, right? If they eat food, they say the whole prayer except for the last part. If they drink something, they say everything except for the last part. But they normally say, "Blessed are you, Lord, God of the universe, who has sanctified us by your laws and has given us a commandment for lighting the candles or drinking of the fruit of the vine or eating of the bread." And this one, before they eat, they say, "Blessed are you, Lord, God of the universe, who has sanctified us by your commandments and has commanded us concerning eating of washing the hands." Now, the commandment for washing hands, where is that? Washing the hands before eating, where is that? Not. It's not here. Where is it? It's in the oral law. God showed them how to. God revealed all this to Moses verbally. And over the years, he passed it on to Joshua, to the judges, and then the prophets, and they all wrote it. They memorized it. They didn't write it down until about 200 AD. That's when it got written down, and then it became the Talmud. So all these Mishnah were memorized. And if you were a good lawyer, you memorized all this, and that's why they were way up here, and they could tell people what they're supposed to do. But most people couldn't do all this. They're not going to measure the food. They're not going to have all the weights and measures laid out. And oh, by the way, I should tell you, there was no need to wash beyond the second joint of the fingers. Did you know that, Daniel? You're very strict. Among the Jews, they only have to wash to the second joint of the finger. That was it. Right here. Okay? Also, there was no required measurement for the washing, for the how much water to use on the second washing. Only the first washing. The first washing, you have to have between 3 to 5.3 ounces of water for this. But when you go to a next course that requires washing, you don't have to. You can use whatever water you want. And on the first washing, you have to collect the water. It can't go down on the ground. You have to catch it. On the second washing, it can hit the ground. So know that. Now, these are the laws for washing, okay? Just the hands. There's a lot of other purification rites. And so Jesus said, what are you doing here? Where is the singleness of devotion to God? Number one, this doesn't even exist. I never told you this. My father never told you this. Where are you coming up with this? Let's read on. So that's the background. I'm sorry for taking so much time. But I think it's important that you have a sense of what a weight this would have been on the average Jew. The average Jew does not have time to do this. They don't. And they didn't, and they still don't today. Most Jews are not observant to all these commandments, all these Mishnah. They don't do it. God forgives. I'm a non-observant Jew. When they say I'm a non-observant Jew, that means they don't practice all these things. They're probably great people. But they don't do all these things. So let's go back to the scriptures here, verse 3. So why don't they wash their hands before they eat? And he said, why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? So he never told them this. And now he's going to give them another example of legalese. This is legal mumbo jumbo is how they came up with this stuff. Okay, and that's what it is. Christ has no place in his heart or for his followers to be caught up in this. So then he says, here's another example of what they did. Besides washing hands, here's another little trick they had. For God said, honor your father and mother, and anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death. This is from the Bible. But you say that if a man says to his father or mother, whatever help you might otherwise have received from me is a gift devoted to God, or the word is korban in the Jewish lexicon, he is not to honor his father with it. Thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of tradition. You nullify the word of God. So when I mentioned our traditions here, none of us ever dare say this is exactly the way it's supposed to be. This is God's will that we do it just this way, and if you don't, you're going to hell. Mike will never hit you with his cane. Where's your cane, Mike? If you sit in his chair, I know he won't hit you with his cane. And I know that I will never disinvite you for tacos if you park in my parking spot. That's right. Because this is not God's will, or that I park there, or that you sit there, or that we start at 10:30, or that we have our bread like this, or if it's a certain kind of bread. Some of us get very hung up on that stuff, and I'm telling you, you be careful about that inward tendency you have to want to legalize, you want to codify these practices. These are our convictions, but we don't codify our convictions. They're not codes. They're your convictions. And they're good convictions. But we don't nullify God's word to maintain our convictions. We accept anybody who comes in here and wants to sit down and worship. If they're a believer, they take the cup and the bread. Some places won't let them do that. Why? I don't know. Where does that come from? I don't know. It's in Christ alone, we are all the same. But Jesus said, why do you act like that? Not only did they act that this was the word of God, they also had penalties. Did you know that? So there was a penalty for dishonoring your mother and father in the Torah, in the written word. And there are other penalties. Remember Mount Ebal, Mount Gerizim, the curses and the blessings just before they enter the land? Now, folks, listen, you know what you're getting into here, right? Okay, and they said, yes, we will do it all. And then Moses said it, I think Deuteronomy 31, 32, says, you guys can't keep this law. I told them that. And it's going to go bad for you. It's going to all end in a crash and burn. You're going to pay for this. Anyway, so what did the Jews come up with in the Talmud? Here it is. He said, is that me? I'm sorry. I'm a bad daddy. I thought I turned that volume off. God said, what things soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it. He also said, you shall not add to the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. So he's already single-mindedness. This is our guide. We have a single-minded devotion to God and to his word. That's it. That's all we have. But the oral law, the Pharisees, had punishments. If you didn't wash your hands, Sophia and Titus, listen, if you don't wash your hands, this is what the rabbi has in store for you. If your daddy was an Orthodox Jew, a rabbi, this is what he'd have to do to you. Okay. The case actually occurred of an excommunication that came from not washing your hands. Here we go. It is necessary to be very careful in washing the hands, says the Talmud, for everyone who despises the washing of hands is guilty of excommunication. There's another one. They'll stone you for this. And they even stoned a man posthumously. After he died, they stoned him. Whom do they excommunicate? Eleazar ben Chazar, who despised the washing of hands. And when he was dead, the tribunal sent and had a great stone laid on his coffin. to teach thee of that everyone who is excommunicated and dies in his excommunication, the coffin is stoned by the tribunal. So be careful. Be careful. You could be excommunicated and stoned if you don't wash your hands properly. Here's another one. Everyone who despises washing of hands sinks into poverty. Rabbi Zarika says in the name of Rabbi Eleazar, everyone that despises the washing of hands is rooted out of the world. You're dead. So, the penalty could be even worse, because to equate the transgression of this commandment is that with gross immorality. Here's something else from the Talmud. Everyone who eats bread without washing of hands is as guilty as if he had committed fornication. How's that? That, okay, take it. I mean, that. So this is what Jesus dealt with. This was going on in his time. The Pharisees were the purveyors and the teachers of the law were the ones who taught that, and that's why they scorned the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. They scorned the people. They said, who are these people? They don't know the law. They're sinners. Especially the ones up in Galilee. They had no use for them. And Jesus saw that these were the blind guides. Blind guides leading the blind. He said, leave them. What else did he say? Oh, yes, he said. In Luke chapter 11, I want to read this to you. I had it memorized, but I don't want to screw it up, so I'm going to print Luke chapter 11, verse 46, if you want to read along with me. He's doing the woes. He says, and you experts in the law, woe to you, because you load people down with burdens they can hardly carry, and you yourselves will not lift one finger to help them. Aren't you glad that Christ didn't do this to you? What did he say? What did he say to us, the people who don't know him, who are his enemies? He says, come to me, you who are burdened, heavy laden, I will give you rest. Amen. What a beautiful Savior. Folks, our salvation is great in him. Amen. It's not the washing of hands. Where is the singleness of devotion in all this? Where did it go? These people just, they nullified God's word. They nullified his power. It was a dead religion. And that's why he had to take it from here in the law books and put it back in their heart. You should thank God every day that he rescued you and brought your heart to life in his son. We have the five solas, that came from the Reformation. Only faith, only grace, only Christ, only the scriptures, and only for the glory of God. That's it. We have no magisterium. We have no board of directors who tells us what is right, what is wrong. We have no sets of commentaries that dictate to us what is the word of God and what isn't. We are given this. We are people of the book, right? We follow Christ's word. The living word and the written word, right here. This is what he gave to us. Everything we need for life and godliness. I gave you that verse, right? You had that. So, for our singleness, single-mindedness toward devotion of God started when we came to know him, whenever that was or however that was. But we're going to sing a song right after this verse, and I'm going to wait for Peggy to get there so she could say the verse with us. So we're all going to say it together, Peggy. We have plenty of time here. Actually, we don't. Hurry, hurry. They're going to leave us.
Take the verse and go to the piano.
There you go. All right, thank you. So I can only encourage you, my dear brothers and sisters, who have walked in the faith, some of you, much longer than I have. You've shown faithfulness in all your ways. Maintain that singleness of devotion to your God. Maintain your singleness of devotion to this word. This is it. This is the only thing that separates us from all the craziness of the world. So it started with Jesus and it ends with him. Through grace, by faith, through the word of God, for God's glory, only Jesus. So, Acts 4:12, and I gave it to you in King James because that's what I remembered when I was a young man. Okay, here we go. For there is salvation in none other. Can we read it together out loud?
Is
that salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Amen. Acts 4:12. No other name. No other name. No other way. Single-mindedness to God in that devotion. We have a song we're going to sing. It's number 1 in your hymnal, and it's called In Christ Alone.